who went to HPM?
Yeah!
Fantastic. It was always a wonderful experience. So really, really at the heart of what we do, HPM is right there front and center, isn't it? Humans being more. And throughout the course of this event, hopefully you're going to connect with that message, that theme, on a deeper level throughout the course of everyone's presentations. I think that concept of becoming better is going to ride very strong through the message. So I would invite you throughout the course of tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, to make notes if you can. If you haven't got note-taking material, although I would imagine if you've got a smartphone, you've got note-taking material, haven't you? You can do it there as well. But I would encourage you to take notes. Okay, and there's pens and paper out there if you want to make some handwritten notes as well. But make notes on what you're learning and make notes on what you're feeling as well, because I think throughout the course of the weekend, you might just get prompted, inspired, to make some personal commitments about how you're going to change your business. And we want to make sure that we capture those moments too. Okay, so please be sure to do that. We've got a great opening opportunity tonight. A very special guest speaker for us. He's a NECAM consultant, of course. He's been with NECAM for 20 years. He's just recently celebrated his 20th anniversary. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. Woohoo!
He's got a wealth of experience. He's perhaps one of the most quoted NECAM consultants. He's got a PhD in physiology, so he knows the body and what our products do for the body, I think, better than anyone. He's just a fountain of knowledge. Along with that, he's also got a wealth of business experience, which gives him a wonderful combination, a real broad perspective on everything to do with NECAM, products, business, you name it. So to explain to us, to teach and inspire us tonight all about self-care, please give a huge round of applause to Dr. Gary Lindman.
Is the mic working okay? Yeah, it sounds like it is. How y'all doing tonight? Yeah. How many of you are kind of new in NECAM? Raise your hands. Thank you. Appreciate it. And open invitation to you all, if we haven't met personally during the course of the next couple days, come introduce yourself. I'd be happy to chat with you, answer any questions, or help you in any way I can, or help you to help others, because really that's what we're all about, right? So Heather put together these slides, so give her a hand on it. And for this presentation, you really don't need to take lots of notes, because we have this really cool new tool called the Self-Care Awakening Magazine. So many of the things that we're going to talk about are in here. It's a great piece to sit down with one-on-one with somebody and have a conversation with them about self-care and NECAM Active Wellness. It's great for small groups, and somebody told me it's a great piece to train some of the new people with, too, for points of conversation. So, very excited about that, and it came out looking really cool. welcome to the
Snowstorm
2018 Field Summit. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? So, I'm going to talk about self-care, and first, I'm going to tell you how this came about. And I was invited to speak at a NECAM convention and do the first presentation. And I was sitting in my hotel room, and this was in April, and I was watching baseball because I'm a baseball fan. And an ad came on the TV while I'm going through my slides. And here's what the ad said. There are 26 million diabetics in the U.S., 54 million are at risk. Don't worry, we can treat and manage your diabetes so you can lead a normal, productive life. Mm-hmm. Now, that assessed me, all right, on a number of levels. One, type 2 diabetes is one of the most preventable chronic illnesses we have. Over 85% of it can be prevented. Two, it's brainwashing. It's brainwashing, making us think that chronic disease is a normal part of life. And you can answer me this. How many times are you having a conversation with somebody and they're talking about their joint problems, their back problems, their headache problems, and their rationalization is, well, I guess that's just part of getting older. Don't you hear that a lot?
Yeah.
It's not, all right? Because these things can be prevented. And I said, we got to do something about this. Because pretty much, I think, as a society, and not just here in the U.S., I think globally, we're brainwashed into thinking that that's normal. It's not normal. So this is our input to that, to try and change that mindset and let people know some really simple, easy ways that they might be able to prevent or even improve their health, regardless of what, where they are in that staircase of health, with some really simple concepts. Our tagline is be healthy by choice, not by chance. Now, as a tagline, that's fine. I want us as a community to think of this more as a battle cry. You see the difference? To inform people, inspire and empower them to be healthy. So self-care is about becoming aware of and making choices for a healthier life. Now, given our battle cry, be healthy by choice, not by chance, if we leave our health to chance, I'm just going to say this flatly, our chances aren't very good we're going to be healthy. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, a veterinarian, large animal veterinarian, just a couple days ago, and John said to me, well, Gary, I'm one of those people that are just willing to leave my health to chance. And I went, really? John, we've known each other for 18 years. And the conversation came up because, you know, large animal veterinarians spend a lot of time with their arm inside a cow or another large animal. And having a 2,000-pound animal move when your arm in there can cause a lot of shoulder and neck problems and other things, all right? So he was complaining that his shoulders hurt. So I took him one of the power bands to just put this on your neck, see if it'll help your shoulders. Why? What'll it do? How's it work? And another one of his buddies was there. I just looked at him and said, John, it's a gift. Just put it on and see if it'll. And his buddy said, shut up, John. You know, you're the most skeptical person on the planet. And he probably is. I mean, he's very knowledgeable, but he did put it on. So I'll follow up with him and see if it helps, because I'll see him when I get back home. So here's the thing. If we leave our health to chance, it's like spinning a wheel of fortune and hoping you land on a healthy pie. Now, would any of us do that? With our health, our most precious asset. Because without it, what do we got? Not much, you know. Here's the statistics of what I mean if we leave our health to chance. 1 out of 2 American adults have at least one chronic condition. 50% of us have more than one. And get this. By the time we're 65 years of age, 80% of us have at least one chronic illness, and many of us more. It's responsible for 7 out of 10 deaths, not just here in the U.S., but globally. And 86%, at least of the U.S.'s, and I'm going to throw out a big number here, $3.2 trillion a year, which is what we spend on health in this country, 86% of that's spent treating and managing chronic disease. Now, is that a problem? And given the fact that I just said over 80% of these are preventable, what can we do with those trillions that we're going to spend on treating and managing disease? Do we have a healthier society? Do we have better schools? Do we have, I'm going to say this specifically for California, do we have better roads? We used to have good roads. We don't anymore, that's for sure. But we could do a lot of things. We really could. So the way we treat and manage this is, how do you guess? Pharmaceutical intervention. Here's another big number. 4.3 billion prescriptions are filled in the U.S. each year. 4.3.
U.S. represents 4.4% of the world's population, but we consume 75% of the world's pharmaceutical medicine. Now, why is that? 4.4% of the world population, yet 75% of pharmaceutical medicines. Pretty much. Hey. Electronics hate me, I'll tell you that. And the cloud does too. Heather protects me from the cloud. I put something in the cloud I can never find. So anyway, why is this? Because we think we can treat and manage. We don't prevent. And if we think there's a pill for everything that bothers us, then you've missed the total point of being healthy by choice or self-care. Would you agree? Yet, our entire lives were taught to be consumers of modern medicine, especially pharmaceutical medicine. When we were young, at least when I was young, and I had a headache, what did my mom do? She gave me a baby aspirin. My tummy hurt, what happened? I got a Tums. I got a pill for this, pill for that. And maybe that's changing, but at least in my generation, that's the way it was. Now here's another reason why. I'm going to play a quick little video in a minute, and this is what we see every day. Countries in the world that air those type of advertisements, U.S. and New Zealand. Canada does a few, but they are limited to what they can say. Do you think that has something to do with it? Now, 6.4 billion spent on TV advertising in the U.S., and they're currently spending, I think the figure I saw was close to 4 billion on internet ads, not to mention print ads in magazines. You know, I pick up Golf Digest and every other page is a pharmaceutical ad. We see it everywhere. You want to change that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is this? And what's changed? Let's look at this retrospectively or historically as far as problems with that. In the early 1900s, the biggest cause of death, the largest diseases, were what? They were infectious diseases, communicable diseases, pneumonia, influenza, gastrointestinal infection, tuberculosis. They were responsible for most of the deaths worldwide. So, a little over 100 years later, it's what? Chronic disease. So what's changed? Have we changed? Have we changed biologically in 100 years? It takes a long time for us to change biologically. But everything else around us has changed. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, here's the thing. When I look at this, and I look at what's changed, and why chronic disease is such a problem, and I'm not just talking here, I'm talking globally. If you look at any society around the world where modernization, industrialization have come in, chronic disease bears its ugly head, all right? I was having dinner with a physician. I was in the Mideast last summer and doing some self-care presentations and had the opportunity to have dinner with a physician, Ken. He was from Ohio, and he'd done a mission in Nairobi, in Kenya, and decided to stay. So he's been there for 10 years. And as we're having dinner, I asked Dr. Ken, I said, what's your biggest health issues in Nairobi? And I really thought he was going to say infectious type problems. And he said chronic disease, heart attack, stroke, cancer, and diabetes is epidemic. And I said, really? So then I started to do some more research on that, and literally what I just told you, every place where they have changed or industrialized, you see the same problem. I think it's because of four things. And these four things are, we live in a pretty toxic world, and we carry a body burden of toxic chemicals in our body, which can affect our health. I think people walk around every day dehydrated. They simply just don't drink enough water. We don't get enough sleep, which is very important for our health. Okay? And I see people laughing when I just mention that. But we don't. And we have weight issues. Would you agree? And I think the main thing with that is processed foods and added sugar to the food. These are the main things that really changed. We haven't changed. So let's talk about these. First, we're going to talk about environmental toxicity and what this does. And there's a great book called Invisible Killers, and I'm going to show a little video clip from it that's called Unseen Killers, and it's a clip from a longer documentary, but just take a listen.
The world is a toxic place. We know that every 5 years, 10,000 new chemicals are in the marketplace that weren't here 5 years ago.
There's no such thing as a pristine environment. It's toxins in the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat. So if you decide to actually breathe today, you're going to be exposed to toxins, especially volatile organic compounds. If you decide to drink the water, you're going to be exposed to heavy metals. And if you decide to eat food anytime soon, well, you need toxins there as well, especially in processed food or food that's been chemically altered.
There's a tipping point in your body above which the accumulation of these toxins begins to interpret into disease.
Our intake of toxins is much greater than our ability to excrete, and the difference becomes sequestered toxins, our body burden.
The fact is the body burden of toxins today is a body burden that is significantly higher than the body burden was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. So we don't die from pneumococcal pneumonia. We have penicillin and its derivatives. But we die more kids with childhood lymphoma, more kids with brain tumors, more adults with cancer. All of these diseases appear to be related to these toxic exposures. To turn your back on that is to turn your back on the obvious.
Which would be the same as what? Sticking your head in the sand and hope the problem would go away. And many people do that. Why? Because they don't have an answer. So where are all these toxins from? Industrial, chemical, big chemical companies. Did you hear what he said? 10,000 new chemicals every 5 years. That's five a day, all right? And less than 0.625% of those have ever been tested for toxicity on humans. When do they test it? After there's a problem. All right, so people feel kind of helpless there. And are there ways that we can take care of that through self-care for ourselves personally? There are. Absolutely, there are. What he also said is there's a tipping point. Where is that tipping point? And where's that tipping point for any given chemical? Do we know? No, we don't. And what are the interactions of all these different chemicals? It's estimated we each have over 200 in our bodies. 93% of us have bisphenol A's. Where do we get those? Anybody got a bottle of water? to package food. Now, bisphenol A, that's a bad chemical. I mean, I challenge you all to look up what it does in the body. I mean, in my own specific field of reproductive physiology and fertility, human beings are experiencing the lowest fertility we've ever had on this planet. I think that's one of the main reasons. The chemical structure of BPA looks exactly like an estrogen molecule. We have young girls, 7, 8, 9 years old, going through puberty. I think that's why. So there's also another aspect to this too. At many studies, and this is from Sanjay Gupta, and he did a CNN documentary called Toxic America. And he says, basically, there's a growing number of studies finding toxins in mothers that subsequently pass those on to their babies, even before they're born. One such study is from the Environmental Working Group in 2005, and they tested for toxic chemicals in the umbilical cord blood of newborn infants and found nearly 300. Is that surprising and shocking? Did me. I mean, really. I mean, I know about this toxic problem, but in newborn babies. Now, here's the thing. Who is at bigger risk for chronic disease? The older person in our society, given this information, or the younger? The younger, because they already have a burden before they start accumulating even more. And I think our current observations in health would point that out to say, aren't we seeing chronic issues showing up earlier, earlier, and earlier in our lifetimes? I mean, it's not unusual. I talked to somebody just the other day, 39-year-old, my husband, with cancer. Last month, 42-year-old guy, heart attack. I mean, those are chronic issues. And we're seeing them showing up earlier, earlier, and earlier. So this is a big problem. And here, this of those 300 or 287 that they detected, those are only for ones they tested for. And these aren't easy to test for. So how many others are there that were not tested for? And I had to throw this slide in because I think it has a direct correlation to what we're talking about. You know, when I was in school, I think I remember one kid in our school that had asthma. You know, nobody had ADD because we didn't even know what it was. But look at how the prevalence of it now. Do you think there's a correlation between the toxins in our body, the pollution in our body, the pollution, what I call the pollution in people? A nation is only as healthy as its children, Harry Truman. Very true, is it not? So let's talk a little bit about one of my favorite subjects, which is water. We don't drink enough. When I'm doing a presentation, I did one a couple weeks ago at a network luncheon, and usually you guys know if you're at a network luncheon, you can't be there to sell products, but I can sure be there to inform, right? And I usually ask, and there's maybe 50 people at the luncheon, I said, how many people here drink at least 10 glasses of water a day, or half your body weight in ounces? And out of those 50 people, how many hands think went up? One. What does that say? The rest of them aren't drinking water. And they're drinking just about everything else but water. And used to say this to my kids. Waitress would come to the table, ask for their beverage choice. I would look at them very sternly, and it took some time, but they'd go, water, the essence essential nutrient. And when you're out eating, do that. You know, gal comes and says, what would you like to drink? I like water. It's our essential nutrient. And it's a good way to start a little conversation. So, but it is an essential nutrient. You know, we can live for months, years without other nutrients. It's only a couple days without water. But we don't think of it that way. That is why 75% of us walk around chronically dehydrated every day. That's a problem. It really is. Many of the things they drink have a negative impact on their water balance. The diuretics. I get people that tell me, I drink lots of other beverages, I get my water from that, or I eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and I get water from that. There's no way you get all the water you need from that. And every time you're eating, let's say you're eating a piece of celery, which is mostly water, right? Well, what's your water exposure your body have to do? It has to metabolize that celery. And does it take water to do that? Does it take water to metabolize the water in the celery? Yeah. So that would be, you know, it's misconception on people, right? Just thinking that you know, they can do okay without drinking enough water. You can't. So we lose water 10 cups a day, and we lose it through breathing, all right? We lose it through excretion, and we lose it through sweating, keeping our bodies cool. And that's about 10 cups a day. So that's 80 ounces. So if you're 160 pounds, that's 80 ounces. That's half your body weight in ounces. But most people aren't drinking that. Failure to drink enough water can lead to fatigue, joint pain, headaches, ulcers, high blood pressure, kidney disease, weight gain. Failure to drink enough water can lead to diabetes. Absolutely. And many, many other chronic issues. Come on, folks, we're 70% water, right? We're like a balloon of water. 2.5, that narrow range between hydration and dehydration, that's a very small range. 2.5% reduction, and you lose 25% in your efficiency, your productivity, and your energy. You ever feel tired in the afternoon or during the day? Drink some water. 95% of headaches can be prevented or taken away by drinking some water. Loss of 15% is usually fatal. That's a narrow range. That really is. So, there's a little slide on different parts of our body and how much water there is. Our brain is 75% water. We think of our bones as these rigid structures, but they're 25 to 30% water. We have lots of choices when it comes to water. And that's a good thing, because in many countries in the world, there aren't a lot of choices. You know, I've been to some of them where they spend a third of their day carting or boiling or disinfecting water so it won't kill them when they drink it. But give the baby some water. But we have lots of choices. We have tap water, right? We have well water, we have bottled water, we have bottled water, and we have bottled water, alright? And let's talk about bottled water for a second, because that's another one of my favorite subjects to talk about. 14.2 billion gallons dollars wholesale, alright? This is a huge, huge industry. They have their own lobby group. Who would ever thought bottled water had lobbyists? What's the biggest lobbyist group in our country?
Drugs.
Pharmaceutical drugs. Yeah, really. So, and who owns bottled water?
Coca-Cola.
Pepsi. You know, the guy that brought bottled water was a gentleman from Germany. He went into their boardroom and said, listen, I want to bring an idea to you, to Coke and Pepsi. And he met with both individually. And said, I want to introduce you to bottled water. And they laughed him out of the boardroom. And they didn't think it would ever go. But last year, 2017, was the first year that bottled water sales were higher than soda bottles. Now, that's a pretty cool thing, because people are looking for a healthier choice. But are they making a healthy choice with bottled water? You know, when I see people with bottled water, I ask them a couple questions. And the first one is, why do you drink bottled water? The responses, there's usually three responses. First one is, it's healthier. Well, healthier than what? Healthier than tap water. Really? Second is, it tastes better. It's an aesthetic reason. Tastes better, smells better. And I said, okay. Third reason is that it's so convenient. Now, in response to that, is don't we often trade convenience at the expense of our health? We do. So there's conversation points you can have with people along that line. And one of them, you know, that idea that maybe because it smells or tastes better that it's healthier is really because of advertising, and it's not the truth. You know, tap water is healthier than bottled water. So I'm going to show you another video. This is from a documentary called Tapped, and maybe some of you have seen it. And it's got some really cool music that is talking about bottled water.
When you think about the finished product of the plastic bottle, you don't think about the process. Most of the public does not know that their plastic materials are being made in petrochemical plants.
People think when they're drinking bottled water that they're getting a healthy product. They're not conditioned to think, well, maybe there's something in the plastic.
Of those, or 20% of those are recycled. Because people say, oh, I recycle. Well, maybe you do, but your neighbors don't. And how long is that plastic in our environment? Every bit of plastic we've ever put in our environment is still here. Lasts from 900 to 1,000 years. And even when it's gone, are the toxins from it still there? Yeah. So here's the other thing. It's estimated by 2050, all right, that in the ocean, the amount of plastic will outweigh the amount of fish. That's pretty astounding, isn't it? Yeah. I hate bottle water. I mean, I really do. It's not a healthy choice. It's one thing that I can really, you know, start a conversation with somebody, and it's not a mean conversation, it's just a conversation. Why do you choose bottled water? And I'm telling you, they'll say one of those three things. And you have an opportunity to educate them a little bit. So, sleep is our other self-care subject. At another presentation recently, Carl. I gave a presentation on sleep. Carl, very fit guy, about early 50s, works out every day, and this guy's, you know, buff, and he's just, you know. He says, Gary, I don't need to sleep. I said, really? And Carl, how much do you sleep do you get? He goes, 4 or 5 hours a night. I said, well, why? He says, because I got to get up and get into the gym. Okay. He says, it works for me. Okay, Carl. Come see me in 20 years. Let's see how you do. We can't carry that sleep yet. And most of us think 7 or 8 hours or less than that is okay. It's not. And most of us don't. Average adult sleeps less than 7 hours a night. Now, sleep's composed of 4 cycles. Each one of those cycles of sleep takes 90 to 110 minutes. We need 5 repetitions of each of those cycles. So 7.5 is the minimum at 90 minutes a cycle, but for most people it's more like 100, 110. So 8.5 to even sometimes 9 hours would be a good sleep for other individuals. We can't do it in 6 or 7. And if we don't get those, we haven't fully rested, we haven't recovered, we haven't stored our memories, we haven't replenished our proteins, or replenish the other things that we need to have a healthy day. And that can take its toll over time. And the way it takes its toll is how? Chronic disease. Absolutely. Why don't we sleep? Because, I think it's one thing. We, as individuals or a society, do not look at it as a productive time of the day because we are not accomplishing anything. We will forego sleep for that project for work, that term paper for school, to get up early to exercise like Carl, or for whatever else, and think that we're actually being more productive when from a physiological and health standpoint, we're being unproductive, where sleep is probably the most productive part of our day. And I think that's the main reason.
Can I tell my boss that?
Sure. That's where I can help you. I'll get on the phone with him and, yeah, which happens when we get out of sleep. Yeah. But that's, you know, and then here's the thing. There's a lot of myths about sleep, too. People are really busy during the week and working long hours. How do they rationalize it? I'll sleep in on the weekends. And I'll sleep in on the weekends. Doesn't work. Why? It's a 24-hour circadian cycle that we need that. You will never recover what you lost during that one 24-hour cycle as far as sleep did. And it's also a problem because it perpetuates itself. Because they sleep in on the weekend, and then what? Sunday night, they can't go to sleep. You know, then they're up later and have to get up early, and that whole cycle perpetuates through the rest of the work week as well. So, we need more sleep. So, this is what
William C. DeMint says about sleep, and he was the father of sleep medicine. He was from Stanford University. And he says, healthy sleep has been empirically proven to be the single most important determinant in predicting longevity. Now get this, more important than diet, exercise, and heredity. Now that's a pretty powerful statement. And let me say, I like to do little segues, so with your permission I will. Part of John's problem, which is I'm fine with being healthy by chance, is a lot of other people's paradigms as well, is that they think being healthy is difficult. That's really hard work. Would you agree? Because what do we taught? We're taught two modalities to be healthy. Diet and exercise. And those involve what? Pretty much huge lifestyle changes. And if there's anything we probably take from this, is we're willing to change just about everything around us. But we aren't very willing to change ourselves, right? And when we're talking about big lifestyle changes to people, they aren't willing to do it. How long do New Year's resolutions last? 85% of them are dropped within the first 2 weeks. How many of them involve weight issues? 70% of them. Heather and I did a blog on the self-care hub called, and it was her idea, of course, Re-Solutions. Not resolutions, Re-Solutions. And we talked about simpler, easy ways that people can maintain healthy weight without huge lifestyle changes. Now, that's why we think being healthy is difficult. Another story. Lodi, California, where we live, is having a program they started last year called Vision 2020 to help make it and its residents a healthier community. So the president of the chamber invited me to take place in their first little roundtable, and it was held at Lodi Memorial Hospital. And pretty much I was in a room with healthcare professionals. And their way to accomplish this was, what do you think their ideas were? I sat there for an hour and a half and listened to physicians, physical therapists, dietitians talk. Was for better education for what? Diet and exercise. And I'm just kind of fidgeting in my chair. And Pat Patrick, our chamber president, knows me pretty well. And he says, Gary, you look like you got something you want to say. And I did. And I wasn't shy about it. I just got up and said, listen, what you guys are planning, what you're planning to do, we've been doing for 50 years. And is heart attacks down? Our throats? Cancer? Cancer's tripled. All right? Our weight issues down? Isn't diabetes nearly epidemic? The children have weight issues, and you want to educate them more about diet and exercise. Do you think that's going to work? Actually, they did think it was going to work. Right? And I said, well, let's talk to them about simple things. You know, the average kid gets less than 7 hours sleep a night. How much water does that kid drink each day? How much do you? You know? And again, you get this point of people where you have this skepticism. And I think for many of those in that room that day, the skepticism was, it can't be that simple. But could be, couldn't it? So here's the thing. I get a lot of people that have questions about self-care after I talk about it, and especially the guests. And I had a lady come up to me after one I did down in L.A. and said, I got questions about this. And her point was, it can't be this simple. And so she had some skepticism. Now, has anybody run across skeptic people before? Right? And I asked her pretty simple questions. I said, you know, in the points of self-care, of drinking more water, getting better sleep, watching what you can do about a body burden of toxic chemicals, don't you think all those things could make you a little healthier? Can somebody argue about that? I invite them to, but, you know, and I get this on three-way calls a lot of times with physicians and other people with, you know, most recently with a biochemist. His name was Carlos. And I said, Carlos, answer me this. Could we be healthier if we watched our body burden of toxic chemicals and did some things so we didn't ingest or absorb as many? Yes or no? Yeah, I'll concede that. Do we be healthier if we drink some more water and we're well hydrated? Yeah, I'll concede that. How about if we all got better sleep, better quality sleep, and more sleep? Would that help with our health as well? Yeah. What about if we watched our weight and maintained a healthy weight? Would that be a good thing to do? Yeah. Did he argue with me? No. So what was his skepticism? Now, the skeptic, I invite, because why? Because they just need more information. They're asking questions. Where I take issue with is with John, the cynic. Because no matter what you're going to say to them, they're going to have some rebuttal. And, you know, it's like John with his power band. You know, put it on and use it. If you don't want it, that's fine. You know, it's a gift, man. Don't worry about it. Whatever. So, you know, that's the type of conversations that I like to have with people. And people say, so, and that's where I think the power of talking about self-care or being a self-care ambassador yourself when you're talking to people is that there's not a lot of, you know, interaction that's negative. Now, these are simple concepts, aren't they? Huh? Do you think most people think about it? They pay them no attention whatsoever and go on with their daily life. Not drinking enough water, not getting good sleep, using products that add to that body burden, showering in tap water. You know, the things that we advocate for, that we use vegan products for to help reduce that. But they don't think about it. So, I enjoy having this conversation. So, sleep. Here's the one I always leave for last, and that's weight matters, all right? Now, do we have a problem with that? Is it just here in the U.S.? Nope, it's globally. Here's a report from The Lancet, probably the oldest and most respected medical journal in the world, published in 2016 in April, where it says, obese people outnumber underweight people for the first time in human history. Now, this was a huge study, nearly 20 years with 20, 30 million people. This is profound. I mean, this really is. So why? Again, you have to ask the question here, why is this? Could poor sleep be part of the problem? Yeah. Dehydration. Yeah. Okay, there's one more thing that I think we all need to pay heed to as well. And I want to show you another video. It's called Fed Up. And these are just the trailers. So you can find these online, and they're very informational. One of the things that they're going to mention there is that statement. This is the first generation of kids expected to live shorter lives than their parents. Is that disturbing? Absolutely. So here's the video.
The epidemic here is worse than previously estimated, much worse.
The message has been pushed on us. It's your fault, Ted.
Shouldn't be so hard to get them to run around and play, right?
They have voracious appetites and they don't exercise enough.
It's about how active our kids are.
Forget about it. There are 600,000 food items in America. 80% of them have added sugar.
Your brain lights out the sugar just like it does with cocaine or heroin. You're going to become an addict.
You end up with one of the great public health epidemics of our time. This is the first generation of American children expected to live shorter lives than their parents.
I am 12 years old and my doctors have said that I am statistics.
We're blaming willpower. It's a con.
Over 95% of all Americans will be overweight or obese in 2 decades.
We're toast as a country. The sugar industry is extraordinarily powerful in their business to make money, not to keep America healthy.
What if our whole approach to this epidemic has been dead wrong?
The government is subsidizing the obesity epidemic.
To place private profit ahead of public health. Systematic political failure.
By 2050, one out of every three Americans will have diabetes.
Those diseases are being driven by sugar. This is the fundamental problem nobody's talking about in society.
We could cure 80% of the problem with the parents in the school.
Tomato paste is a vegetable, really?
Junk food companies are acting very much like tobacco companies did 30 years ago.
And we reject entirely any argument that they are in any way harmful.
Lying through their teeth.
Kids are being told the biggest lie they will ever hear in their lives.
Ronald McDonald never sells to children. He informs and inspires through magic and fun.
If a foreign nation were doing that to our children, we would defend our families.
Years from now, we're going to say, I can't believe we let them get away with that.
We have to change the diet of America.
It's all preventable.
Sugar. It's a problem. It's everywhere. You know, they said in there, 600,000 food items in the U.S., 80% of them have added sugar. Check it out. I was doing a presentation at Nikon headquarters and had dinner with my sister, my older sister, I might say. I knew, figure out why I said that in a minute. And she was making dinner. I said, what are we having for dinner? And she listed what we're having, and she said, we're having green beans. I said, are they fresh or frozen? She said, they're frozen. I said, well, I probably ought to skip on the green beans. And she goes, well, why? You love green beans. I said, they have sugar added to them. And sisters, especially older sisters, responded, they do not. They don't have sugar in green beans. And I said, well, check the label. She pulled out the label, looked at it. 6 grams of sugar per serving in frozen green beans. Why? Well, it supports the sugar industry. We know that. But it also makes them taste better than most people or whatever. And also, I think, helps in the freezing in the cooking process as well. But, I mean, here's the thing. And at that point in time, I was reducing, my goal was to reduce my sugar consumption a day to 25 grams a day. And the impetus for that, I have to thank Barb Satterwhite, because she did a interview with me, a little video, many of you may have seen it. And we were talking about self-care. And then she sent me a copy of the video. And it was a good video. You still use it, don't you? But what did I notice? The only thing I noticed, I was sitting in a chair out on the patio, was this big, huge guy. Right? I looked at this video and went, oh my gosh! I weighed 223 pounds. Within 8 months, I increased my sleep, went to bed at an earlier hour, got up earlier, drank nothing, pretty much but water, and kept my sugar consumption down to 25 grams a day. And within 8 months, I weighed 179 pounds. And I pretty much maintained that since, well, it'll be a year, like August or whatever. And without increasing my exercise, or pretty much changing anything else. So we can walk the talk, too. And the main thing there, I really think, was the sugar. And just really reading labels and monitoring how much I was consuming. So, 150 grams of sugar a day, average American consumes. That's 40 teaspoons. So let's say you slept 8 hours a night, you have 16 hours during the day, waking hours. That's like eating 2.5 to 3 teaspoons of sugar every hour. And just popping it in your mouth. Would we ever do that consciously? No, but it's hidden. It's hidden. Let's look at this. 1822, the average American consumed 9 grams of sugar a day. In 2012, it was 153 grams a day. Now we talked, we don't change biologically very quickly, do we? That's a drastic increase in the amount of sugar we're consuming.
And I say, even if we had a pancreas the size of our liver, there's no way we could tolerate 153 grams of sugar a day without a third of us being obese or overweight, or 50% of us being diabetic within the next couple decades. So, food or sugar is very addictive. It rewards our brain like most drugs. It likes it. We consume it, our blood sugar levels rise, then they drop, then we crave more, and it's a vicious cycle. So we need to break that addiction, because it is a real addiction. And how do we do that? First, know how much what a healthy level of sugar we consume today is. All right? So it's like 6 teaspoons for women, 9 teaspoons for men. And that may sound hard, but it's not hard. It wasn't hard for me, and it hasn't been hard for most people that I've advised to do this. But look at labels. And what do labels say? Grams. So if it says 24 grams, there's 4 grams per teaspoon, that's like 6 teaspoons, right? So there's your full consumption of sugar one day for a woman, if that's the product you're choosing or you're buying. So it's really pretty simple to do. Another good way to do that is let protein help. Makes us feel fuller, we metabolize it slower, we don't get into that cycle and that craving. And there's a great product I know of that can help with that. Protein shakes help a lot. There's a great one I know of that will help with that. So, these 4 things, we have lots of choices, right? When it comes to our health. These are simple. These are doable. So why do I, and many of you, recommend and advocate drinking? Do we have things in our products and technologies that can help with this? We do. When it comes to Weight Matters, one of my favorite products, start every day with it, Kenzen Vital Balance. How many love this product? It's awesome. It's brain food. If I don't have my morning shake, I just don't feel right the rest of the day. Do I, honey? No. Why'd you let that KBB run out? We need to get some more in there pretty quick. But, I mean, it's awesome. We also have other nutritionals that help too, don't we? So, how about for sleep? Who uses Kenko Sleep System? Do you love it? Do you sleep better than you ever have in your life? My pattern of sleep used to be, go to bed, lay awake, fall asleep, wake up an hour later, look at the clock, fall asleep. You too? Wake up an hour or two later, wake up, look at the clock. Well, but a lot of people didn't. So the sleep system for me took care of that problem. Why? Because there's technology in there that allows you to wind down. I didn't toss and turn as much because I didn't feel heavy because there was a little massage there. It provided negative ions. Oh, I can't say that. It helped me calm down. All right? You know, so that environment, that sleep-friendly environment of that system can help lots of people. I did a little trial on this. I did it with 174 people. And some of them I lent a system to, some of them purchased just on my recommendation that they do so. And I asked them 10 questions before they slept on the system and 10 questions a week later. And those system and those questions were really about, you know, do you toss and turn a lot? Do you have low energy during the day? And then they would respond with a number between 1 and 10. The average improvement in sleep out of their own mouths after a 7-day period was 50%. Now that's huge. It's absolutely huge. So I can't say enough about Kenko Sleep products. It's one of my favorite products. I'll throw this in there too, because I know Ben likes this one. That comforter with its ceramic reflective fibers, I'm politically correct there, right? Does work. Helps keep you warm at an even temperature. Not too hot, not too cold. What's the one thing we do our entire lives that we consume the most energy doing? Keeping our bodies at 98.6 degrees. If I have a comforter on me through a third of my life, every night, that helps me do that without my body working as hard, what's it going to do with that energy? It's going to use it to help heal and protect. Makes sense, doesn't it? Right? I told you I have a tendency to get in the same way. How many love the one product I get the quickest stories of the testimonials back from when people get them? They wake up, take that shower, and call you and say, that is the best shower I ever took in my life. I was in there for 30 minutes. It felt so good. But it's hydrating. There's a lot of technology in there, and it's competitively priced. What's the best way to provide yourself and your family with healthy water? You know, bottled water isn't it? It's not regulated. What's regulated? Tap water. And it has chlorine in it and all the associated byproducts, but that's the kill pathogens. The best way, the most cost-effective way to help you is with it, is to filter tap water. Bottled water is 2,000 times more expensive than tap water. That's like going to a sandwich shop for a $6 sandwich and paying $12,000 for a sandwich. Again, I ask you, would you ever do that? No. So filter the tap water, the point of use. This is a great product. And it's a lot of times, a lot of people ask me, what's the one thing I can do, Gary, to improve my health? Drink more water to change the water, the type of the quality of water you drink. So for pollution in people, just about our whole product line can help with that, to help us detox. So the key here is not to ingest or absorb as many and help your body get rid of the ones that are already there. Love our skincare products. Shampoo, water helps, sleep system helps. You know, the list can go on and on. So our whole product line and technology and this concept of the wellness home helps accomplish getting rid of toxins, getting better hydrated, having better sleep, and maintaining a healthy weight. The simple things that we're talking to people about. So let's consider this for just a minute. These are symptoms of what? Chronic disease after chronic disease after chronic disease. But they are also symptoms of environmental toxicity, dehydration, poor sleep or not enough sleep, and excess sugar consumption. How many times when we go see a health professional with a headache or whatever it might be, and they say, how much water do you drink? How do you sleep at night? Very rare, if not if ever. So. So self-care and eco-active wellness products and technologies provide an integrated approach to help us all be healthy. Would you agree? Is it pretty cool? Is it simple? Yeah, absolutely. So take advantage of both. You got a couple ways to do that. You can become a registered customer. It's free, there's no obligation. Open up that pathway for self-care with the products and technology for yourself and your family, or buy them from a consultant. Or you can also purchase from an existing consultant. And here's the other thing. So we get people that join us, and they join us because they want more balance in their lives. And that can be subdivided into lots of different reasons. They can either be for finances or better health or better mind, family, society, time, freedom, whatever that is. But we also get people that join us because we have a cause. And that cause for me is to help those people however I can with whatever they're looking for, with the ultimate goal of letting people know that chronic disease is not a normal part of life. And we can take care of this health problem together. So thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. So the magazine's available at Magnetic Leaders under Tools. I think it's $12.50 for 10, which is pretty much the printing cost of them. But it's very, very professionally done. And don't thank me for that. Thank Heather Abbott. She designed it. Heather, stand up. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
a beautiful, beautiful guy. And also, if anybody would like copies of these great slides that Heather designed and put together, we'll put them on our webpage, which is selfcarehub.com. And you'll be able to download them, and we'll probably have those up by the end of the day. Selfcarehub.com. And while you're there, you might take a look at some of the blogs and other things that we do, because you can use those for the people you're talking to as well. So, again, thank you guys. Appreciate y'all.